G-minus 87. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Inevitably, Henry McCarthy's journey through the crowded bar area of New Care Grill and Bar and Grill drew a great deal of attention, and far more than would have been attracted had Mr. Bird walked alone rather than cleared a path for Henry's wheelchair. Everyone was extremely accommodating, even more so for Henry than they would have been for anyone else, thanks to the unprecedented esteem in which he and his family were held in Birchwood. Nevertheless, this level of attention was entirely unwelcome. Whatever the hell was going on with Phil and his conspicuously dressed visitor, the fact that Henry was making himself part of it would only make their recent unceremonious exit even more memorable and speculation-worthy in the eyes of all who had witnessed it. Social media would no doubt light up with exaggerated first-hand accounts of a one-way skirmish that would quickly be blown out of all proportion. But this was the last thing on Henry's mind. What mattered to him far more than the disturbance was what lay behind it, and the possibility that the mystery man somehow knew part of the secret Phil was in on could cause all kinds of problems. If this was what was going on, who the man was working with was going to be the most important and most urgent thing to find out. Primarily unconsciously, Henry's mind was already considering the cleanest courses of action to first learn such information and then make sure, one way or the other, that the man would know better than to take things any further. Emotionally detached words spoken by Henry's son Clark, who in a previous life of high-stakes private security work in Iraq had been no stranger to both sides of difficult situations like the one Henry hoped to avoid, rattled around his head. When someone poses a problem too big to ignore, you do all you can to get the message through about how bad things will get for them if they don't fall in line. Because if the message doesn't get through, the guy doesn't get out. The sole source of relief over what had happened in the last few moments was that Phil had seen the man standing near the bar's rear exit rather than the main entrance. The anger on Phil's face suggested that his mind might not have been firing on all rational cylinders when the man came into this site, so much so that he may not have been able to hold back from roughly ushering the man outside and into the view of the countless citizens and dozens of TV cameras gathered at the edge of the drive-in lot, which became a frenzied scene like this whenever anything alien-related formed the main news of the day. The man had sneaked in and through the crowd unnoticed, and rather than either greet or confront Phil, had opted to wait until he caught his eye. Henry tried not to draw too many conclusions about this, or indeed the fact that the man had chosen to stand near the relatively inconspicuous rear exit, which led into the secluded staff-only storage and office areas of Phil's U-shaped retail lot. Whatever the visitor wanted to talk to Phil about, he didn't want to do so publicly. How exactly this apparent desire for privacy made sense alongside the fact that he had been only too glad to stand openly in a highly public place while peacocking for attention in his gaudy outfit, well, this was just one more thing Henry didn't understand. Mr. Bird opened the exit door with no problems, which came as a relief but not a huge surprise. He and Henry had both ventured backstage at New Care Grillin' several times and knew that the door led to nothing but a corridor-like walkway lined with locked doors, which in turn led to various offices and storage units. Bar staff came and went often on their breaks, while no customers had ever so much as attempted to enter. As Henry proceeded through the door as quickly as possible, while Mr. Bird held it open for him, both considered the possibility that the intrigue of what was happening might prompt one or two patrons to follow in search of some footage to share online. "Anything to block it?" Henry asked as he crossed the threshold. Mr. Bird, already one step ahead, grabbed the nearest bar stool from the other side of the exit and carried it with him towards Henry, before securely closing the door and positioning the stool against the opening mechanism at an angle that would ensure no one else could get through.
"That'll do it," Henry nodded approvingly. "Now, where the hell are they?"
The scene before the two men was one of mundane concrete and harsh panel lighting. Despite all the money that had come his way since the derelict lot he bought at a bargain price became suddenly sought after when Dan McCarthy put Birchwood on the map, Phil Norris had evidently done very little renovation work on the guts of his large unit. Beyond this corridor, the lot's innards opened up into something more like a traditional warehouse, but the area where the men stood now felt positively claustrophobic. With no more idea of the answer than Henry, Mr. Bird began speculatively knocking on doors. When none of the first three brought any answer, Henry began calling, "Phil, it's just us. What the hell is going on?" Seconds later, both men heard movement at the first door Mr. Bird had tried. This was the door nearest to the bar, and both were by now well beyond it. Phil stuck his head out and looked towards the bar's exit first, turning then to find his old friends in the opposite direction. He sent a hellish scowl their way.
"Staff only," he grunted. "Did you forget how to fucking read?"
Henry and Mr. Bird shared a quick look, deciding who would talk. The softer and more polite Mr. Bird, or the gruffer McCarthy patriarch. Without doubt, the situation called for Henry.
"Who is he?"
Henry boomed, wheeling himself towards Phil.
"And think very carefully before you lie to me, Phil. Very carefully."
A full 10 seconds of silence, more uncomfortable for Mr. Bird than the others, passed without anyone giving an inch. Eventually, Phil stepped out from the small office where he had evidently led his unwelcome visitor and allowed the door to close. He then walked towards the door where Mr. Bird had placed a bar stool, and in that moment, Henry felt sure he was going to tell them to get the hell out. Instead, however, Phil typed a code on a keypad next to the door to engage the interior locking mechanism. He then returned to the office door and unlocked it by way of a fingerprint scanner. Without taking his eyes from Henry McCarthy, and without softening his expression even slightly, Phil held out a hand and sent the universal "come hither" gesture to his two oldest friends. He didn't look happy about it, but the situation was what it was. Henry approached the door and waited for Phil to open it fully. Phil hesitated before leaning down to Henry's level and whispering an intensely firm instruction. "Don't talk." With a curt nod, Henry confirmed his understanding. Finally, Phil let him pass and called on Mr. Bird to hurry up and join them. The office was well decorated and well lit, but all Henry could focus on was the sharply dressed man sitting unrestrained on a low couch.
"Henry McCarthy, as I live and breathe," the man said, surprisingly calm and undaunted, cocky even. "Fancy seeing you here."